Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Cindy DeFerdinand, only on LA Talk Radio.
So welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Concierge Coaches Show. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Cindy DeFerdinand here on LA Talk Radio. And welcome to our first show. So we are so excited to be here. A lot went into both of us being here. So we are glad that you're here, glad that you're listening, and hope you'll catch us on the podcast anytime, 24 hours a day on latalkradio.com, and we're on channel 2, so you'll be able to scroll and find our podcast from there. So anyway, another great day to be in the coaching business. And Cindy, how are things out in California today?
Fabulous. Happy to be here with everybody.
Well, great. Well, I guess we'll start with, why don't you introduce yourself to the program and listeners, and we'll just kind of take it from there.
We'll tell each other, tell everybody a little bit about ourselves.
I
have a private practice based here in Southern California in Huntington Beach, and I'm a clinical nutritionist and professional life coach. My focus is on nutrition, but also on executive coaching and business startup, and that's based on my more than 30 years experience in the business world in terms of sales, marketing, business development, and I absolutely love and am very intuitive in regards to business startups. So I work with a lot of people who are launching new businesses, and it's really very exciting.
That's great. That is great. Yes. And I come from a traditional mental health background. I'm a licensed professional counselor and have a private practice here in Texas. And prior to that, had an illustrious career with the Federal Bureau of Prisons prior to that. But my coaching focus is on executive coaching. And also, we'll talk a little bit about sobriety and recovery coaching as that goes on. But right now, most of my work is working with executives. And it's a little bit different. I don't do, Cindy and I are different. I haven't done any business startup types of folks. I don't really do a lot of new talent development per se. I'm working on clients that working with clients that they're experiencing, I wouldn't say difficult, could be difficulty, but wanting to get to the next level. So there is a little bit of a component of making things better. So a lot of my folks are mid-career or late-career executives who may need or that are seeking coaching to get to the next level and or plan for transition to some other things. So
fabulous.
That's kind of what I do. Yeah.
Both of us want to talk a little bit about what we do, and of course that'll come up more as we move forward, because we obviously can't cover everything in a couple of minutes in terms of a summary of us professionally. But I'd really like to tap into Bruce, if it's okay, a little bit of
sure.
what we really want for the show, why we're doing the show, what we really want for our listeners, our calling guests and our guests to get out of the show. And I'd like to start that off by saying, Bruce and I had been ideating for quite some time about the show and why we really want to bring this show to our audience. And I think probably the number one reason, Bruce, and please jump in at any time, is that we really want the average person out there, the average listener, to understand what is this crazy field of coaching that's growing so rapidly and everybody's talking about. What is coaching and what can it do for me, or what is it doing for other people that I know are getting coached, and really kind of educate the people on what coaching is. How about Bruce, is that's pretty much where we started with why we wanted to do this show.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think between both of our skill sets and experiences, a lot of different ground is covered. And, you know, I'll tell you, coming from a traditional mental health treatment, psychotherapy, almost a Western medicine-ish paradigm, it has been an awakening for me, you know, to seeing things through a coaching sphere, you know, through a coaching lens, through coaching techniques, you know, and I noticed when I was in my coaching program that there were quite a few of the pupils in that program, and I kind of felt that they were wanting to become psychotherapists. And the strange irony was, I was already a licensed psychotherapist wanting to become a coach. So it's really interesting. And as the show goes on, we'll talk about different techniques and mechanisms.
Right. And I think that the field of coaching draws people from all walks of life, professionally, personally. But we also do draw a lot of people from a therapy background who are very intrigued with the model of coaching, how contrary it is to traditional therapy or counseling, but how effective and how quickly it moves people. And so maybe we can talk a little bit. One of the things I didn't mention when I talked about my background is that I actually do teach a course to certify people as a life coach. And so I see firsthand what it does for people, how quickly they learn the skill set, and how amazed they are about how effective and how quickly it moves people. So one of my goals for the show is just for the average person to understand coaching and what the coaching skill set and model is, maybe if they are interested in it as a profession, or they need some support, they're at a crossroads, or they're trying to change behavior or start a business or just need movement in their life. They're kind of stuck in the mirror and they really need to get from A to Z, and they need somebody to facilitate that. That's the role of a coach. So I really want to make it available in terms of understanding, and also available to people who may not know that this is out there and a resource for them.
Exactly. And I think, you know, the coaching field is growing rapidly. Cindy, you have some statistics you've shared with me. I think you've shared me statistics on that this is a growing field, and it really does have. There's a lot more freedom. There's a lot more freedom to access and kind of, if you will, be with your client in a humanistic sense. That some of the other more traditional mental health disciplines, kind of your hand is kind of stuck out straight, you know,
right? A little bit more tight.
Yeah, boy.
And regulation. Yes. And this is growing, you know, like internationally, it has been touted as being the second largest growing profession. And as you were saying, Bruce, it does allow for a partnership between the coach and the coachee in a much, much different way than some traditional types of therapy and counseling would be. So it is something that people are gravitating towards if they're looking for movement forward and more solution in their life.
Exactly. Now, that's interesting. One of the interesting distinctions, and I want to run this by you, Cindy, is like if somebody is quote unquote stuck, you know, in the psychotherapy world, there might be a Gestalt technique, or there might be some other type of technique to get this person unstuck. And so the person that's the therapist, if you will, while they're joining with their client, they're actually using these techniques to kind of get through the problem. Whereas I think in coaching, we're almost saying that the person has the solution, right?
Correct.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you just took the words right out of them. Yeah, I was just thinking the same thing, is that in coaching, you know, we start from a position of understanding understanding that the client has all the resources that they need and the answers. They may be buried deep a little bit, and the coach's role is to facilitate them finding their answers by asking appropriate questions that are open-ended, that get the client exploring and doing the work to find their answers and the direction that it leads them to. It's not the coach's job to do that for them. So that's probably the hardest thing for people to understand about coaching. Whether you're going in to see a coach for the first time, you've decided you needed some help and therapy may be working for you. Maybe you're not even in therapy. You just have been referred to a coach and you have a need for movement in your life. One of the things that it's important for us to let you know before you enter into that coaching relationship is the coach is not going to give you the answer. The coach is going to facilitate you finding your own answers and you setting your own path and your own goals and your own change in your life. And I think that's a big distinction between coaching, consulting, therapy, mentoring, advising.
Is that the client is more empowered, or what do you see as one of the big distinctions?
Well, absolutely more empowered, but the client is going to meet a coach who meets them as a facilitator or a partner, not to give them the answers and advice, but to help them discover and uncover their own answers, because they do have them. We all know what we really want. Sometimes we just have to uncover it. It's buried a little deeper than the surface. And a coach's role is to get us processing, to ask us the questions that drill down to where we find our answers and have those aha moments that are quite exhilarating, to find your aha moments and have the light bulb go on.
Right. And so much more meaningful, I think, when the person kind of finds the answer from their own treasure chest, that as a coach, one of the analogies I'm beginning to use, like, hey, I'm alongside you. We're going down this path. Yeah, we're going down a journey. We're going down the path together. But I'm merely, merely kind of pointing, or I'm not offering the solution, but just kind of gently, guiding them through their own solution and their own journey.
Right. And it's kind of like, I'm just with you. I'm your coach. I'm with you.
Right. A little bit of a delay there, but yes. Yeah, it really is a marvelous process. And, we've seen coaches and books that are published it's something that you really need that other person. Sometimes I notice that just me being there more for accountability.
Yeah, that's the key.
Somebody called me I was a paid accountability partner. Well, I mean, that's one way of looking at it. But you know what? At the end of the day, that's what it was to an extent. So.
Well, and also you have to say to yourself, say you're searching out a coach, how much is it worth to you to get what you want out of life and to get the things done that you need to do to move you to where you want to go? Would that be worth paying for? A lot of people would say, if I hire a coach and I can get there in 90 days versus spend a year and a half on it, what is that worth to me? And a lot of people, will fold right in because they want the support. And accountability is a big part. A coach, kind of holding your feet to the fire in terms of the work you need to do to get where you have said you want to go. And sometimes you need somebody just kind of pushing you and holding you a little bit accountable to accomplish the goals that you have set and the action steps to reach those goals. And having somebody that you're accountable to can really help you get there quicker.
Exactly. So, it's an investment in yourself. And I think we have our guest online.
Caller?
Good.
Yes.
Are you there, Margo?
Yes.
Hey, thank you and welcome.
Hi, Margo.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fabulous. How are you? Thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
Oh, my gosh. No, I'm super excited to talk to you, too.
So if you can, tell us and our listeners a little bit about, sounds like you'd gone through therapy and counseling and a lot of other stuff, but it sounds like you, at some point, you enlisted coaching, and kind of tell us that journey a little bit, if you can.
Well, the journey before the coaching was ugly for a while. It was a year ago in November, I turned 49, and I just sort of felt like, I have a great career, I have a great life, but there's more to life than just going to work, coming home. I hadn't been doing any art. I hadn't been involved in any self-love. It was just go, go, go. Mm. And I saw that a friend of mine had become a life coach. And this is someone who's a former actor who gets the industry. And I had gone to a therapist, and it's very difficult to work with a therapist when they don't understand our industry or the film industry or artists. And I looked to my life coach and I talked to this person and I said, tell me what it's about. And we had a long talk. I hired this man as my life coach. It's been 1 year next month and my entire life has changed. I am accountable for my happiness, my success. A life coach is like having your private cheerleader who encourages you and helps you. And it's not as easy as it sounds. Some people say, oh my God, that's so stupid. It's not stupid for me because I'm a procrastinator. I can't even begin to tell you how much I've accomplished and how my life has changed because you have to do the work. It's sometimes not fun. It is absolutely the best thing I've ever done. I've invested in myself and I've never been happier or felt better.
Good for you. That sounds like a fabulous experience that you've had. Are you still working with your coach a year later, Margo?
Yes. Fabulous. Yes, because what I wanted to do was be more financially independent, more creative, do art. I want to start writing again. And then I started a business that took off.
Good for you.
Now my life coach is also a business coach, and it's really awesome. And again, finding the right life coach is also important. I had mentioned to Bruce earlier, it's like finding a great pair of jeans. They've got to fit. You have to fit with someone. And it's hard to understand people in the film industry. We're odd. We're creative. We're fun. We're procrastinators. I'm one of the few that's not flaky as far as showing up. I can't tell you how different some of us are from others. I love what I do. I love my life. I want more from it. I want to do more. I'm going to be 50 next month, and I feel like my life just started, literally.
That's awesome. That's awesome. It sounds to
it
me
really,
like you were a little stuck wanting more out of life and just hiring a life coach and working and doing the work over the last year. I love that you said you had to do the work because that's really what
you
it's
have
about.
To. I also hired a personal trainer. Somewhere in my being stuck, I shot up to from 125 pounds to 176 pounds. I'm now back down at my weight. And I have a personal trainer who just
fabulous.
Literally an hour ago kicked my butt. you know, you can do a lot of cosmetic things and take care of the exterior. You really need to take care of the inside and your head, your brain, your thoughts, especially because I'm continuously happy and I love to bring joy to others or make someone's day or just, you know, that's why I do makeup. And I see friends of mine that's just so sad. They're so angry and they're so bitter. Or I hear, well, I'm 50. I don't need to take care of myself anymore. And that saddens me.
Yeah, it sounds like you've had a complete transformation. And what was the
odds
of you just finding somebody that that was a life coach? I mean, like a lot of people don't even know what coaching will do for them. They don't even know what it is, which is why we started this show. And I love that you've had such a positive experience and such change over the last year by just the luck of coming across the right life coach.
I knew this person years ago. We did a show together. This person was an actor and has always and continuously has been a good person, no matter who he is or who he was in television. And very thoughtful, very just is also, like I said, a fellow, someone who gets the film industry and the craziness or my schedule. I invested a lot of money with this person, and I have not only made it back tenfold. You do have to do the work. It is ugly. There's things I've had to delve into that I can't do with the therapist.
And I like how you said you've made it tenfold. So tell us a little bit about what it's done for you in terms of your professional life.
As far as my professional life, I have worked more and better quality things. And what literally kicked this off is I was working on a very low budget movie. My self-esteem was in the toilet. And I did this movie and I hated it. And I had to really look at it. I didn't hate it. I was hating myself at the time. And my new thoughts are, I don't have to work for a very tiny bit of money. It's very hard for us as I'm a union makeup artist. So there's a certain amount I have to make when I work on a big show, but there's also other projects. My value and valuing myself, if it's on a project I want to be involved in, I'm not going to work on it. And I would have, before I hired my coach, oh my goodness, I'm 30 years in the film industry. I would have debilitating panic attacks. I mean, my boyfriend's a lawyer. I actually technically probably would never have to work again, but I love what I do. I want to be independent. As great as my life is, I like being independent, but I would have debilitating panic attacks of, oh my God, I don't have a job this week. What am I going to do? And literally I've been to several shrinks in one session with my coach. We talked about it, what I could do to calm myself down. In 1 year, I've only had 2 panic attacks.
That's fabulous.
I could not say that for 30 years.
That's incredible.
Literally, I could have $1 million in the bank. I've never had $1 million in the bank, but I would be freaking out. Sometimes I make money, sometimes I don't, but I can put myself in a position and get myself out of the anxiety. And as far as my career, I started a business with one of my best friends. We're doing well. The show I work on is fantastic. I love the people I work with. And it's really about having healthy people around me. Toxic, bitter. I wish you well, but I don't want you in my house. I don't want you around me. I love a positive influence.
Marga, one of the things I'm picking up underneath what you're saying is that not only did you learn some coping mechanisms simply through a life coach and how to deal with your anxiety and panic attacks, but it sounds to me like what I'm hearing you say is you also learned what to say no to.
Absolutely. I couldn't say no before. I'm not kidding you. Oh, you want to, you know, people would say, oh my gosh, I'd love to have you do my makeup. And I'm thinking, you can't afford $1,000 a day or $500. I'd still do it because you know what? It depends on the person. It's the production of the person that's just flat out taking advantage. I volunteer. Right now I'm starting a thesis for a Chapman University student. I'm volunteering on a student film because I also give back.
That's
that
nice.
Brings me so much joy. I will work for free, but I will not work on your crappy movie of the week where they pay no money and they abuse the crew. That's not why we're in this industry. That's a money machine, and I don't want to be part of it.
What I hear, Margo, is a ton of change in your life, a ton of change in the way you approach things and the decisions that you're making.
Oh, and even one of the things that my coach taught me is there's a gift in everything and people that you come across, even the meanest person. What is the gift you learned today, Marga? What did that person give you? Well, that person showed me that you can be compassionate, or their lack of compassion. It's not what I would do. And I try to be nice or do something back. Whereas before I would be, oh, they're just a mean old person. Just get away, you know, or boy, she's just horrible to work with. They have their own issues. It's not about me. And that's another thing. What other people think of me is not my business. It is not my business. I have to keep my side of the street clean, not gossip. I'm also, by the way, sober 7 years. I drank a year out of my life. And sobriety is a huge thing. And I've got new makeup artists coming in going, oh, my God, I'm sober a year. How do you do it? And I'm like, well, it's easy. I work a program. I stay in touch with my life coach. I have a sponsor, or I used to. You know, there's a lot of people that think our industry is still drugs, rock and roll, music, and it's not.
Sounds
it's
like
changed
it's
a lot.
Filled with some serious professionals.
Oh, I work on one of the hardest shows there is. I work on what you've got to be the best at what you do. And I'm so grateful. I've been there 7 years and I love it. And I'm also very private. So when I go to an actor's house or an actress, there's nothing on, you know, Instagram or Facebook. But my life literally is so different. I've lost over 45 pounds in a year.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And it's literally a life coach. I really wish that businesses, maybe they do this. I don't work in a corporate world. If they would invest or put it in insurance, everybody should have a life coach.
I agree.
It has absolutely changed my world because I know women who get stuck like me, they go to a doctor and they're given a pill.
Exactly. I call it being stuck in the mirror. You know, you just kind of up to stuck in the mirror up to your ankles.
Oh, I was up to my neck. I was crying all the time and screaming and going off on people. So I was like, what's wrong with me? And it was like, well, it's postmenopause, but there was more to it. I was just miserable. And it's like a whole new world opened up. And literally, I kid you not, within 1 month of hiring my coach, by January, because we started in December, maybe we started in January. So let's say February, my life had done a 180.
That's amazing.
That is amazing.
I love it.
Let me ask you, Margo, that first thing that kind of got you out of the stuckness. I think I remember you saying, man, you were in this new home or newly constructed home, and you were just there and you were just so stuck. What was the first thing? What were some of the first experiences in that coaching relationship that helped you get unstuck?
Well, the backstory of how I ended up with my house is my dad died 6 years ago. And the stuck was that he and my mother were split up, and my mother was a miserable human being. They're both no longer alive. And the paranoia and the nervousness was just not feeling like I wouldn't make the house look nice enough, or I was overwhelmed. And my coach was like, you are not your mother. You're not her thoughts. Mm-hmm. We worked on this process of me going back to childhood and seeing the joy in the house I grew up in, which is literally my house now is the same house I grew up in. We just tore it down and rebuilt it. So it's new. And it opened up so much more. I'm not kidding you too. I would sit here in this house and just hyperventilate because I just was overwhelmed. And it was baby steps, and writing down and imagining how my home would look, how having people over and how proud I am. And that within 1 week I was hanging, I hung one thing on the wall. Then I hung something else up on the wall. Then I went out and painted some furniture that I had. It's still a work in process, but it has just come around, twofold. Amazing. I'd still be sitting here without my life coach. I wouldn't have the business I've started. I started a makeup business for high-end weddings and red carpet. I wouldn't have any of that. I would never have thought to do that. First of all, I would have talked about it, and you all would have been sick of hearing me say it, but I never would have taken the steps. Because, again, you have to be accountable.
Right.
And it's like homework. It's like going to school. I had homework every single week. And I'm an artist, and I would get stuck in my studio. I had a list a mile long of all the things I wanted to do, should be doing, and I hadn't done any of them. And now we're starting life coaching for business. My coach is now my business life coach. I'm going to keep him around forever. He's like a hostage at this point because it's just someone who's not involved in my life, but he's my personal cheerleader. He's my advisor. I adore him. And he'll kick my butt. He'll say, Margo, so he'll call me out on things that are not healthy. And so, I need that. We need that.
So it sounds like you really started, first just getting out of some basic stuck, I don't want to say vegetative, that's too mean, but you know what I'm saying.
Old habits, bad habits of hearing.
And now you've kind of transcended into some more higher order things, like now, your business and how you give back to others and, oh, I don't want to say existential, but it sounds like you're really, you know what I mean? You're really transcending up into who you are and who you're becoming.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I'm noticing, I got to be honest, is like your energy is so high. And I didn't know you when you were stuck, but you're energetically just so high. It's just such a positive energy. It sounded like the coach you're working with had you utilizing some visualization, like see the house,
yes.
See yourself happy, see yourself yes. entertaining here. That's a technique that's used in coaching to get you at least looking forward in a different way.
Right. Well, let me tell you I'm sorry, I'm in my car. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah,
hear
I can
me?
Hear you.
So one of the things that has been a big, big help was I grew up in a home with one of my parents that I lived with, my mother, who never paid her bills. I grew up with no money with her. I grew up with electricity being turned off. That still follows me, and I will tell you the visualization technique that we worked on was I would go back and see myself as a child, and my adult self would go back and say, look, Margo, you're going to be fine. You are fine. I'm not kidding you. Within a week or two, I was able to sleep all night. I haven't probably slept all night in 30 years.
That's amazing. Good for you.
And I tell myself every night, I do deep breathing, relaxing exercises, and I love it. I can go to sleep because I'm very high energy, very energetic, and I've got, like my dad would call me, perpetual motion. So I want to do more for other people. I really, really love where my life is, and I see so many friends, and I'm hoping that my story will get more people to hire life coaches. Women who are home, just because you're a homemaker doesn't mean you can't have a life. I would love to see some of my girlfriends get out there, get a life coach, and you've got to have something for you. I always say you've got to have either something you do that no one else can take from you. Like I have my art. My boyfriend's a musician. He plays guitar. That's his own thing.
Yeah, that creative outlet is important.
Whether it's a charity or something like that, I love it.
So let me ask you something, Margo. When you were saying you wish everybody out there would get a life coach, if you had to pick just a few things to look for as signs that you need to get movement and you need a life coach, one of the things I heard you say was, you know, I just talked about what I was going to do over and over, but I never got it done. What would be right. What would you recommend to our audience as signs that they may need a life coach? What would pop up for you first?
In my life was the fact that I got on my couch and never got off the couch all day. And in my head, I would say, I'll do that tomorrow. If you find yourself saying, I'm going to do that tomorrow, I'm going to do it tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Or you just don't know how to go about it. That's how I'm not kidding you. I reached out to my person and I saw him post something in a Facebook feed. And I'm not kidding you. Something just said to me, I'm not happy in a certain situation in my home, whether it's my relationship, whether it's myself. I reached out and said, I need help. What can you do for me? What would a life coach do for me? And he said, let's talk. And I'm not kidding you. And my neighbors will flat out tell you if you met them. A year ago, I was the screaming witch in my driveway. Everything upset me. Everything pissed me off. Sorry for that language. I was overwhelmed. And I look at my life now, I have amazing people in my life. I'm doing more art than I've done probably in 10 years. And the people that are surrounded by me are amazing. I love them. And I think I have a better quality of friends, too. Anyone who's negative or bitter, they're gone. They have to be. I can't have, and luckily I only probably, I believe, had 3 people like that recently in the last year.
Nice.
How do you deal with that bitter neighbor of yours? Because that's constantly there. So how do you negotiate that chalk line?
I don't. I have, you know, it's not, their problem isn't my problem.
And it's heartbreaking because I absolutely love my entire neighborhood. I'm so lucky that I have the people across on one side of my street are freaking amazing. My other side is a neighbor that I grew up with since childhood. I can't worry about it anymore. You used to upset me something fierce, and now it's just, you know what? What they're going through, something that I have nothing to do with, absolutely nothing to do with. And it is hard to face that. You really, I must want to fix it, but I can't fix everything, and I can't make everybody happy, Bruce. You can't.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I'm that perpetual happy cheerleader. I kid you not. I have two men that live on my street that are friends with myself and my boyfriend. They're adorable. They are the sweetest guys in the whole world. One of them makes things and taught me how to use a plasma cutter. I would never touch one of those a year ago. I would have been afraid. So for me, having a life coach was so eye-opening because if I'd gone to a shrink, I kid you not, they would have put me on an antidepressant.
Right.
And I was on adult Ritalin 2 years ago, and I felt like I was swimming in a fog. I can't do that. And I'm very anti-Western med. The only thing I'm on is a bioidentical hormone, because if I'm not, I'll probably, you know, I'm not me without it. I'm, you know, swimming in mud.
Well, one of the things I want to talk to you, but I think one thing that I like what you're saying. For me as a corporate coach, that on some of the clients that I've had, I had a basic understanding of their industry. I had a basic understanding of some of the vernacular and the words and some of the concepts. And man, me having that background there's a couple of sectors I know something about, and that just gave them so much comfort. I can only imagine, Margo, what kind of comfort that other people in the entertainment industry or in Hollywood, you know, what you're doing out there, you know what I mean? Like you're like a hardcore, specific, long time, almost like technician. You know what I mean? I'm floundering
right
here,
right.
But just like you said, like, wow, you mean drugs on the set, and wow, you know, you understand this and you've survived. You've survived that lifestyle, that career, and there's just not a lot of people like you, and I think you'll be able to move forward a coaching practice in due time. You know what I mean? Servicing those people.
I'm not a doctor. I don't have a master's degree, but I understand musicians and artists. And the perfect example is I have a friend who lives literally across the street, and they're amazing. They can make things and build things. I don't think this person ever thought in their life that they could actually sell what they make. And I am so encouraging because I love this person. And I don't see myself sitting on a film set for 15 hours a day anymore. I really don't want to. I don't have to work every day. And when I do work at my show, it's 2 days in and I'm off 4 days. But I would love to see other people find their passion and find their happiness. Because you have one life. You've only got one life. And if you're not living to your potential or creative potential, or maybe it's business, it's sad. It's, you know, it's to me, it's suffocating. And I can tell you that a year ago, I was suffocating. And there are other things I'm changing in my life that I'm not happy with. And it's not something I can discuss right now. But, oh my gosh, right. In the last 4 months, I'm going to tell you that my eyes were like wide open. On so many other potential opportunities, healthy, you know, opportunities.
Exactly.
That's terrific.
Hey, and let me ask you one more thing, Margo. We're 9 minutes from the end here, but.
And I'm almost at the hair salon. Well,
I know. Hey,
guys,
real quick.
It's all about, I have short hair.
I know you look like an anime character right about now, probably. So
I do, Bruce.
Hey, look, how much of that thinking that you were turning 50, I mean, how much of that, oh my gosh, I'm turning 50, and how much of that was really, you were almost ruminating and that was almost a bad thing? Tell me about your rising from that.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I've never, ever been weird about my age, but about a year ago, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm turning 50. I look terrible. I feel terrible. I am terrible. Now I'm turning 50. I can't wait to see what's next. And that's again, fabulous. It's all in my head. I'm number one, I'm a perpetual 10-year-old. I have that the child sense of humor. You don't have to die at 50 years old, okay? You can still go on and do other things, and I'm living proof that once you're 50, I'm looking forward to the whole other, you know, the next 30 years, you know. There's that's so terrific. Much more you can do with your life than just go to work, come home. I think if I had to work the same job every day, I would have been dead 20 years ago. And I know that's a horrible thing to say, but I like stimulation. I like art. I like to go and do things. I like to learn things. And I'm not kidding. It's literally also outside of my life coach. It's the people that I'm around now have inspired me. Like I said, I have one neighbor who makes things. Absolutely changed my life 100%.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I know you're getting close to your destination, and we're getting close to ours. So,
hey, thank you so much, yeah. Margot. It was so nice.
Cindy,
to
when
have
am
you,
I going
to so.
Meet you?
I can't wait Cindy, to meet you.
December,
I hope it's
exactly in December.
I think you are going to do amazing things. The inspiration that came from just this conversation lifted me energetically, and I already fly at a pretty high octane. So thank you so, so very much. I really look forward to meeting you in person.
All right. Take care. I've got to hang up because I'm pulling
okay.
in. All right.
Okay.
Love you, Bruce. Bye.
Bye. See
bye.
You later. Bye.
Bye.
Well, folks, you know, there it is. I mean, that was a fairly extemporaneous call. I mean, and you know, this is just a real live example of the benefits of coaching, where this is an individual who was, like, you know, mired down and stuck and whatever, as we all are, and as we all can
at times,
be,
or at have, times,
yeah, at like, times, yeah,
right,
and
it's
and
not
so
perpetual, but you can right. find yourself there. And the beautiful thing is that she played on that instinct when she saw that Facebook post, and she really acted on her instinct that it was time to do something. And she was lucky to find the right coach, the lineup to the right coach. You know, I did hear her talk a little bit about her sense that this coach had experience in the industry she worked in, and that point of relatedness. And I wanted to draw just for a second a line, Bruce, to a lot of people that are in the coaching profession do pull from their experience base, whether that's business or personal or an experience that's happened to them in their life. And they turn that into the profession of coaching to help a specific group of people.
Exactly.
And so that's the norm in coaching, that people go into different, you know, they deal with people with grief or people who have suffered divorce or loss or something. But I don't want to rule out that somebody who's good at coaching, who has that sensibility to get underneath the issue and to really be there with somebody, can really be. Doesn't necessarily have to have the background that you have.
Right. And that's one thing I like about you, Cindy, is that, and we'll talk later as you know, we only have five more minutes left. We'll talk about our respective paths. And I know you came from a very strong nutrition background and some other things.
And the business world.
The business world as
corporate
well.
Corporate experience.
Yes,
so yeah.
I'm not trying to leave anything out of here, but I'm just like, man, and I've seen you interact with other people. Right. And just the skill set you have, just to get to kind of the issue at hand, the issue that the person's dealing with. And it was great for me to see that, because, hey, you're not a psychotherapist, you're not a Freudian analyst, you're not some sort of a mental health practitioner, but man, you're really able to do that. And what that had, you know, your skill set and being a coach for as long as you have, really has some universal application. So you're right. You don't have to be this technical specialist in the entertainment industry to see entertainment people.
Right.
I wasn't necessarily a business person, but I had to learn some business things pretty quick and move forth with that.
Yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, good point.
You know, the way you work with executives with your background, I think it's that ability, that well-roundedness, that life experience, that professional experience. But I think what a lot of coaches bring is that ability, that innate intuitive ability to get underneath the layer. The client is at one layer, and a coach generally is at the next layer, not pointing it out to them, but asking probing questions to get them down one layer deeper. And I think that is, to me, that defines a good coach.
Yeah, absolutely. And being present and being patient, you know what I mean? A lot of people, young coaches, right. A lot of young coaches want to jump in there and save the day and tell them to do this, tell them to do that. And that's just not what coaching is. And that can be a pitfall for
right.
some of the folks.
Definitely
so
patient. It's a very difficult skill set to learn because it's so contrary to just jumping in and telling somebody what you think and giving them advice and leading them in the direction you think they should go in. That's not coaching. So it does take a lot of self-restraint. I use that word a lot. It's self-restraint, and patience is a form of self-restraint. It's just to sit there and be with them and allow them to go where they go and keep asking, you know?
I like that. Patience is a form of self-restraint. Man, that's an understatement, but so true.
Yeah, yeah. Well, coaching requires a lot of self-restraint, especially if you're a real high active go-go type person who people come to for advice. It's not about giving advice. It's about being there with the person and helping them find their path. She, Margo, made unbelievable movement in all areas of her life in a year. I mean, that's a year is a long time, by the way. Generally, coaches will work with somebody for a 3 to 6 month period, but a lot of times coaches will work with people ongoing. Sounds like she may be in that camp.
As other areas in her life unfolded, right? She kind of worked her way out of the darkness per se, and then on the way through to some other pursuits, to include a business pursuit, to include, you know, refining possibly a business and you know, and with her art and other things. And so
right.
You know, that coaching process was able to follow her through the various aspects of her life. And that's what we do sometimes as coaches.
She seems to have found more balance and the ability to make decisions on what to let in and what to let out of her life, right. which has brought her to a better place. So yeah, she was a great example of the benefits of coaching. So I think our show's almost coming to a close.
So
believe it or not, that went
it
by
is.
Quick.
So I told you these go by quick, especially when we have such a great, we have great callers and it's hard to let them go, but it's really good. So
we will pick this up next week. LA Talk Radio Tuesdays, channel 2 at noon.
At noon. And hey, don't forget to see us on our Facebook page at the Concierge Coaches Show. And Cindy can be reached at wisdomfoods.com. And I can be reached on my site at conciergecoach.net. So, folks, until next week, this will be Bruce Cameron and Cindy DeFerdinand on the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. And hopefully we'll see you same time, same channel next week. And thanks for being with us. Take care.
Have a fabulous week.
That's right. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Cindy DeFerdinand, only on LA Talk Radio.